So I invite you to take your Bible to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. We talked about grace last week, and I do want to speak to God's faithfulness. Just kind of leave a thought with you regarding the faithfulness of God, because the grace of God, His grace towards us, and His faithfulness, they go hand in hand. And this is the verse, as I prayed about just this shorter message today, which will be my last message before sabbatical this summer. This is a great message to leave with you, the promise of God. So often we think of what we do, but I want us to think about the Lord's faithfulness towards us. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul makes this statement. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. That is a profound statement on many levels. First of all, for a guy like the Apostle Paul to say anything, you need to listen. But for him to say, I'm confident of this very thing, speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he is giving us a very gracious promise to us, that he who began the good work in you, right? Our salvation, God began that work in us. We looked at that last week. And he will bring it to completion until the day that we see Christ face to face. That's faithfulness. Because I know that if it all hinged on me and my performance to keep that good standing, I'd lose it in a heartbeat. But it's about God's faithfulness. There are three aspects to this. They all begin with the letter S. It is the faithfulness of God towards us, secure, steadfast, and safe. First one is this. It is secure. Paul says that God began a work and God will continue that work until we see Christ face to face. That's security. That faithfulness towards us is a very secure thing for us. This time of year, there are a lot of people graduating, a lot of graduation ceremonies. This is one that happened to take place on Friday. Not that I'm a proud dad or anything, but that's Ash right there, right at the bottom, about to walk up to get her diploma. But one of the most touching aspects of this ceremony on Friday was this. This class of 2015 lost a classmate to cancer, and they have loved this family and raised over $50,000 for cancer research because of losing Sam. And before any student walked across the stage, they had the parents come up to receive his honorary diploma. And some of our own, Noah Phillips, was there on stage to embrace mom and dad. At our own graduation, Mike and I, there was a guy in the seminary department, died of cancer before he could finish his research. And so he was given an honorary degree. You see that oftentimes, but there's an aspect of not receiving your diploma that I want to speak to this morning, and that's this. Generally speaking, at virtually every graduation ceremony, there are people who aren't there because the institution, particularly if it's higher education, they're looking for two little boxes that you have to check off. Number one, have you paid your debt? Right? That degree is not free. They're charging you for it. You're paying for it. And they want to know, have you paid all of your bills? Because until you do, the degree will stay on their bookshelf, not yours or your wall. Second thing, they want to know, have you performed well enough? Have you met the rigors of the academic expectations for the degree that's going to be conferred to you? And you know, I just, in gatherings like this one right here, I just look at all the people there, and it's just interesting to me to think of the different stories that are represented here for Clarksburg High School. There's a great mix of ethnicities and different family backgrounds and such, and it was interesting for me to watch how people celebrated the moment. But here's the the part that I just want to convey. We oftentimes talk about people being promoted to glory, that time when you graduate and you're with Christ forever. There is not one of us who are believers in Jesus Christ who will not make that promotion. Not one, because of the faithfulness of God. And I want to illustrate that in this way. I mean, keep in mind, he paid a debt that I could never pay. And he performed to a T, excellently, perfectly, kept the law so that he could die in my place and I could be saved. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8, speaking of the faithfulness of God. This has oftentimes been called the golden chain of salvation. In the midst of all the graduation craziness this weekend, I was building these slides, and I might have duplicated one or two. If that happens, just ignore it and blame it all on me. But there's that great passage in Romans 8 where it says that God works all things together for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Following that is what many have called the golden chain of salvation. I want to walk you through it. There's five links on this chain. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For those whom he, God, foreknew, he also predestined. Foreknow is a very intimate word. It's a relational. There's a knowledge of this person. God knew us from eternity. And it says, number two, the second link, he predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son. Listen to me. If you're honest with yourself, you don't look like Christ. Right? The deepest, darkest recesses of our heart. But God's work and his faithful work in our lives is that he will conform us. He will make us and transform us to be like Christ. Third, well, he goes on, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Firstborn, obviously, the resurrection. He was the first to rise again in that way. Verse 30. And those whom he predestined, he also called. That is an effectual call. He called us to himself. And those whom he called, he also, number four, he justified. That's justification is a fancy word. It means saved. It means forgiven. That God counted us not guilty because of what Christ had done. When I put my faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, when I was born again, when I became a Christian, Christ's righteousness was given to me because he took all of my yickety riffraff sin on himself, and he became sin for me. So I want you to follow this chain, because he's basically saying all of these people that God foreknew and predestined and called, we were justified. Now I want you to see the precision of God's word. When a pastor stands before you and says, this is the word of God, and Proverbs says every word of God is tested, I want you to see how that comes into play. There's one final phrase. He says, those whom he justified, he also glorified. That's number five. But I want you to notice something here. What tense has every single word been in this chain? Past tense. Because as a Christian, I can say that I have been justified. That is, I have been born again. But believe me, y'all are looking at me. I am not glorified at this present moment. But he puts it in the past tense. The surety of God completing his work in those that he saves is this. That final step is to be glorified and to spend eternity with him in heaven. And he puts it in the past tense because it's as good as done. Now, you hang your hat on that. That is the faithfulness of God. When Paul told the Philippians that he who began a good work will complete it, this is exactly what he was saying. This is God's work in us. And I want to encourage you in the storms of life And as you're aware of your own shortcomings, you remember this. The performance is not about your performance, but Christ's performance in you. Second thing about the faithfulness of God, the second aspect, is that it is steadfast. Last week I had you repeat 26 times the steadfast love of the Lord for a reason. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. A beautiful passage. He says this, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." The people of God were under judgment. Jerusalem was in ruins. And Jeremiah, who is called the weeping prophet, was weeping over the state of Jerusalem. But he says, listen, when my soul is downcast within me, and I'm telling you, many of you, your soul is downcast within you. He says, this is what I recall. This is what I bring to remembrance. This right here. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. I want you to see that his mercies never come to an end. Do you not at times feel that there's no hope left for you? That you've blown it well enough this time. Now you turn in repentance back to the Lord. Because it says his mercies never come to an end. Every day you see that sun coming up, you know that his mercies are new. And I share that for this reason. Many of us feel currently, presently beat up in life. You know, I mean, to make it personal, when I was in high school, I was in a car accident that I never should have survived. My junior year, I wasn't driving. And, I did not go through the windshield. The windshield came crushing in on me. And by the grace of God, I actually walked away from that accident, glass in my eye and all in my head. But I have a scar here on my right elbow that will never go away. It's a reminder of what happened. And many of us carry those scars. I mean, my right foot, it looks like a tattoo, but it's not. Doctor misdiagnosed an infection when I was in middle school. They almost had to amputate the foot. But I've got a scar there that reminds me of what happened. When I was in third grade, we were playing Monkey in the Middle. Brainiacs that we were doing this in a parking lot. And two of us were going for a ball. One guy shoved me, and unfortunately, it was right into a car, and my knee went right up the license plate of that car. And so I have a scar on this left knee that is always going to be there. And I had a good ending, though, because that was the day that my grandparents came over from England, my father's parents. And so there I was getting stitches, and it was just crazy because I think my dad took me to the ER, and my mom brought his parents, and they actually met us as I was just getting stitched up. And my grandfather, he comes over from England, and he had one of those 10 packs of Wrigley's gum. Now, I'm just telling you, my parents never gave us 10 packs of anything. And so I said, well, I think I'm going to make it through. I mean, when you're a grandparent, you can do things like that. On a lesser note, I have this grill that I've had for a few years. Is the cheapest grill in creation. The whole bottom has rusted out. All I have is the burners and the grill, the actual place there. But I just love it. I just like it. And so we had family over yesterday, just celebrating Ashley. And I'm looking at the window, and I'm seeing these store bought burgers. I can see a lot of smoke coming out of the grill, so I thought to myself, I ought to make this a brief prayer and go back out there. And sure enough, sometimes it happens, or it was just very hot, shall we say. And so I opened up the grill like this, and you cannot see it from where you are sitting, but if you look up close, you will notice that my left eyebrow is currently smaller than my right, and my eyelashes are singed, and I have less hair on this arm this morning than I did last night. But here's my point. Life, we carry scars. And what I love about the Bible is it never, not once, undermines or belittles the challenges that we face. Paul was no stranger to adversity. He suffered greatly for the gospel. And he had a past that he wasn't proud of either, right? He persecuted Jesus Christ, the church of Jesus Christ. But listen to what Paul says, 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is most likely his final epistle. And he speaks to the fact that he would soon lose his life for the gospel. But chapter 4, verse 18, he says this. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I promise you, you do not have as many bad people chasing you as the Apostle Paul did. I mean, he was a marked man wherever he went. But as he got beat up and left for dead in multiple cities, as he told the Galatians, as he bore the mark of Christ in his body, he held to this comfort and to this assurance that God began a good work in him and that God would complete that work until Paul saw Christ face to face forever. And you and I have that same assurance that as we travel through challenging times, as trials come our way of various different kinds, God is faithful. Finally, I want to say this about the faithfulness of God. It's a safe place. Paul told the Corinthians this, and I'm driving at a few different angles here. Yes, we have trials that come our way, but as a human being, I also know that we also have temptations and struggles that come our way as well. And sometimes we don't come through as we wish we would. Paul told the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, no temptation, not one, has overtaken you that is not common to man. There are times you feel overwhelmed in the weakness of your own flesh and what's before you. God says, I assure you, nothing has come your way that is not common to others. And here's what you need to remember. God is faithful. That's the premise of what he's sharing here, is that God is a faithful God. And he will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, every single occurrence of temptation that you face, bar none, he will provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And don't we feel that when temptation, we're struggling with it, you're enduring it, you're struggling. But he says you will be able to, because God gives a way out, because he is a faithful God. Do you remember what John said in 1 John chapter 1? When we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and also to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we confess, that is, when we agree with God that what I did was wrong, what I thought was wrong, what I said was wrong, how I responded was wrong, and I am acknowledging that and agreeing with you. I'm not trying to hide it or pretend that is not what it is, but I am going to name it, put it out in the open. And he says, when we do that, he is faithful to forgive us. The light went on for me a number of years ago when that question was answered, what is he faithful to? That's kind of an odd statement. He just said, God is faithful. Well, what is he faithful to? He's faithful to that covenant that he made with us, Jeremiah chapter 31, 31 to 34, where he says, I will remember in this new covenant, I will remember your sins no more. And because Christ has fulfilled perfectly for us, keeping the law, his performance is perfect, and he paid that debt that we could never pay. God is faithful, as we say, to the blood of Jesus Christ, which pleads our case. And so we look forward to seeing you from time to time over the summer, but I just want to leave you with that theme of the grace of God and the faithfulness of God. I know that many of you are facing difficult times. Rest and flee to Christ as your faithful and gracious one. Let's pray, please. With every head bowed and eye closed, the foundation of everything that I have just spoken to is the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is very uncomplicated. It's this: that our sin is real and it separates us from God, who is infinitely holy and incurs his just wrath on us. The great news in the Bible is that Jesus Christ suffered in our place on the cross, not for his own sins, but for our sins. His suffering was complete. He died, he was buried, he rose again. The Bible says when we put our faith and our confidence, our trust in Jesus Christ alone as our Savior and Lord, our sins are forgiven. And this expectation that we've spoken about today of eternity is ours. If you've never called on God for mercy apart from your own efforts, do so right where you are, agreeing with God the reality of your own sin and shortcomings, and putting your faith in Christ. Lord God, this morning, we have so much to be thankful for. Thank you for this past year. Thank you for the prayers and the intentionality of reaching out to our new neighbors. Thank you even for the hoops on Saturday mornings. We pray that these would be effective ways to connect with and to reach out to our neighborhood, including Salt Sunday next Sunday. Father, so many things going on within our church family. We pray for Cheryl, who will be having a heart catheterization on Tuesday. We pray that that truly would just be managing, that it would go smoothly, and no cause for concern. For our brother Eric, having surgery tomorrow, we pray as always that the surgery would be successful completely, and that his recovery would be swift as he heads back to work. For Steve and Joan, thank you for this precious family, and we acknowledge their grief and their heartache and their loss, and we pray, as they have surely been more mindful of it this past week, that you would minister your love and your grace to them through us. Father, thank you for those heading out around the world next Thursday to Kazakhstan. Grant us safe travel. We've talked quite a bit about taking this so seriously, remembering that we are there to serve. Use us as we engage the children, and also as well now, the older crowd as well, in a separate conference. Help us to bless them in their facilities as well. Father, we pray for Jason and Laura, again, that you would calm their anxious hearts, that you would minister encouragement to them. As Laura remains in the hospital, strengthen and encourage them as the bars go to visit with them and pray with them today. I pray that would be a great time of sweet fellowship. We pray for a safe delivery of their son. And it's not lost on us that it will be a struggle for his life the moment he is born. And we humbly and boldly ask that you would give the surgeons an extraordinary wisdom in caring for him. And we pray that his health would only increase. We pray for our church over the summer. Thank you for the gifted men who will be bringing excellent messages on the names of God and how each name means something. And it shows us an aspect of your character, how we can trust you and love you more deeply and reverence you. We pray for your blessing on that. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.